This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
All right, Mr. Durham, how we doing? You all right?
Doing great, yeah. Happy Tuesday. Good show, man. We got a lot of folks here coming up between now and 10 o'clock, and get to some phone calls maybe as well. But, boy, another big night for the Florida State show, huh? Ooh. Knowles score early and often, put it on the cards. And it wasn't a knockout, but tell you what, they staggered Louisville enough to be able to walk their way around the ring the rest of the night, as they say.
I'm disappointed in Leonard Hamilton's guys. You know why? Because the radio I'll tell you why. Because yesterday was Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Most of America had the day off and the rightful celebration. However, there were some of us that were working at SiriusXM. So I was on the air till 7. I was eagerly anticipating having a nice dinner, maybe a little fire going on, got the hounds, maybe, who knows, maybe a little dark water, and watching a really good basketball game. And by the time I got up the steps, got caught up with the day with Mrs. P, got into my chair, put my feet up, it was 40-16. And I was like, man, I didn't like that. I really thought that was going to be a back-and-forth, rock'em-sock'em game. But you know what? If you're not ready to play against Florida State, those dudes will get after you. And they did again. And Florida State and Virginia, I think in the last 72 hours, have kind of made a statement to the rest of the conference. And guess what? We are going to be there. Now, I'm not telling you Louisville can't. They still got to get whole. They're banged up. But that was a knockout in the first round last night, Wes. 40-16 was the score at one point in time in the first half.
Pack, the other thing about it is that, you know, one of the big cogs in the offense of Florida State only had 2 points last night, and that was MJ Walker.
Right.
But he responded with 10 assists. You know, Wyatt Wilkes, he came off the bench firing and hitting. There's Walker's 2 points, by the way. I look at what we saw last night from Florida State, and we use the term ascent, you know, about teams that just get better. And I think Florida State clearly is falling into that category. They came back from this pause, and they have been just obliterating people. Now the North Carolina game was relatively close, but you think of it, two of their last three ball games, they have gotten off to these unbelievable starts and just distanced themselves from opponents. It's really been impressive. And as a result, I think we got ourselves a couple of teams toward the top of accounting to consider for Thursday now.
There's no question about that. And you know, you bring up a great point about the pause. You know, we have seen so many teams struggle, and rightfully so. You kind of expect it. Hey, if all of a sudden you can't practice, you can't play, if you go a week, you go 2 weeks, sometimes even longer, you expect it to take a while to knock off the rust. Florida State, they've done the exact opposite. I mean, they're shooting 71%. The North Carolina game Saturday was a terrific game. Could have gone either way. And they grinded down this stretch. I think your point on MJ Walker is so spot on with really how deep this team is. We know they play a lot of guys. But MJ Walker is a first-team All-ACC player. And when he gives you a game on the road against a really good team like Louisville and only gives you 2 points, next man up. And, you know, the other thing that shows you what a player Walker is, yeah, he didn't score, but you pointed out 10 assists. He does other things. That's the one thing about Florida State that's so good, right? It's just like next man up. If you're down in scoring, then go figure out a way to rebound. If you're down in rebound, you can find another way to win. They are a complete team. And, you know, some of these goofy, stupid bracketology things that come out and you see Florida State with a 7 or an 8 or a 9 beside their name, I'm telling you, I promise you, I guarantee you, there are not 25 teams in America better than Florida State. Promise you, there's not.
Well,
so the whole thing.
You talk about goofy bracketology. How about goofy poll voting? Come on.
Yeah.
Seriously? I mean, just because they were out of sight, out of mind for about 12 days doesn't mean that they fell off the radar. You know, good heavens. But no, they were impressive last night. I think the other thing, too, is, and some of our research folks have cobbled this together, they're hitting almost 57% from the floor, 52% from three, and 92% from the line. After not playing for 15 days, they've played three games in 6 days, and they have flexed, as the kids like to say. I tell you what now, this, just change the names out. Now, you didn't see the early part of the game last night.
40. When I turned it on, but if you just change some, 40 to 16.
40 to 18, right. 40 to 16. If you change the names out from last year and insert the names from this year's team, there's not a lot of difference. I mean, there's just not a lot of difference. They're playing with the mentality that they almost finished last season with. And in the case of Louisville, remember last year, the Louisville game at the Tucker Center, big highline game and great competitive ball game. I remember us sitting there talking about it. And then at the end of the game, Trent Forrest buries the dunk, right?
Yeah.
Against the Cards in the Tucker Center. Well, last night, Malik Osborne buried a dunk on the Cards last night. I mean, Florida State has sent messages, you know, from time to time. Here's the Osborne dunk. Oh, my goodness. Now, Forrest was finishing a transition chance, but this one's still pretty impressive.
You know what else was?
No foul called either. Forrest got – this is this thing last year now.
It was crazy.
Golly, Pete.
Yeah.
How about this?
Yeah. Florida State's been posterizing Louisville back-to-back years. You know, Polite was hurt last night, too. That's just another guy that could have been on the floor. I mean, it's Florida State's a problem now. I'm just telling you. When you try to take inventory, do accounting, and – try to figure how this thing's out. You know, you watch how great Virginia played Saturday. They were lights out. You hear Tony Bennett later on in the show. And you watch Florida State now. I mean, we keep talking about the alpha, right? The gloves move to the top. Who's going to emerge? I don't think there is any doubt, zero doubt, that those two teams have said, hey, guess what? We'll go after that number one spot. And Virginia Tech sitting there playing basketball, winning games on the road, doing their thing too. So, like I said, this is an interesting week coming up where you take really the top five or six teams in the league and you're going to start seeing some eyeball-to-eyeball competition. You got a game tonight that I think is huge. Pitt-Duke. I mean, that to me is one of those kind of, you know, everybody's sleeping on Pitt. We just haven't seen Duke play enough. Do they emerge? Who takes care of business? Somebody dominate this game tonight? I don't know. That's why you watch all this stuff and be entertained. So I think you're right, though. I think Virginia and Florida State and Virginia Tech, when you do your accounting, we'll unveil ours on Thursday. Hard-pressed to believe those aren't the top three. Just telling you.
Yep. Raekwon Gray, by the way, who had another big ball game for Florida State, joins us at 9:30 this morning here on Packer and Durham. All right, we talked about the polls, and we have made history, not in a good way, yesterday. But the Associated Press basketball polls out. Virginia is 13, Virginia Tech 16, and Clemson 20. They stay in the top 25 on the men's side. The biggest news is who isn't there, of course, and that is Duke and Carolina. For the first time since December of 1982, the Tar Heels and Blue Devils both are outside the Associated Press top 25 poll pack. And back then, I think it was even the old AP top 20.
Right. That's correct.
So there you go.
Reese Davis was with me yesterday afternoon for a little bit, and we were laughing about some of the crazy stats. And when you go, I'll take it a step further, just because they've been in my 16 a few times. But it's the first time since December of 1961 that Duke, North Carolina, and Kentucky, as blue blood as it gets, are out of the top 20, top 25 in this particular case. Is that amazing? 1961.
That was when Billy was playing.
Billy, that was a NCAA Final Four. Here's our 6 degrees, right? So you want your 6 degrees?
Yep.
1961, Billy Packer, Lynn Chapel, Bones McKinney, in the midst of a Final Four run. How about that?
That's right.
Go figure. We're living in crazy times, man. Crazy times. We've already had the ACC streak. The top 10 got snapped at, 641 weeks, whatever that was. Top 15 was like 1,032 weeks. And now Duke and North Carolina out of the poll period for the first time since 82. I mean, these are strange times. But it doesn't mean they can't play themselves right back into the conversation, which they've got time to do. So, again, tonight, Duke and Pitt will be a game we talk about a bunch today on the show.
December 1982, I think Billis was a freshman at Duke in 1982. I think that's Billis's freshman year Fighting Rolling Hills, California. Take you that far back. It was also the year after North Carolina beat Georgetown in the NCAA tournament, Michael Jordan's sophomore year. Carolina opened the season with kind of a weird beginning to the campaign. And Jordan was actually playing with a cast on his hand throughout the month of December because of a wrist injury. So all these things kind of creeping into the history that we're writing without North Carolina, Duke in the poll. And as Pac said, December 1961, the last time North Carolina, Duke, and Kentucky not in the poll. All right, now, Florida State's not in the top 25, Pac. What in the world here? Is that because of the 15 days? I'm going to assume that they were out of sight, out of mind, and I'm going to give the poll voters the benefit of the doubt this week. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt.
I'm not. You know what? This is the same. This is the same nonsense of, hey, Trevor Lawrence has COVID. He didn't play for 2 weeks, so therefore he's no longer a Heisman favorite. It's the same garbage. Hey, we haven't seen Florida State play, so therefore they're not any good. I mean, the whole thing's stupid. I mean, I got to call them out because I think the whole thing's garbage. I really do. I think all this stuff's garbage. Yeah. If you don't think Florida State's not one of the 25 best teams in the country, then you're, again, either stupid or biased or both, and that's what it is. I mean, Florida State can play.
All right. Yep, no doubt about it. By the way, the news much better on the women's side of the AP Top 25, where Louisville is the nation's new number one team and NC State is number two. That means that the ACC is 1-2 for the 30th time in history, by far the most ever. Syracuse, by the way, has moved up a slot to 23. The Orange, by the way, hosts North Carolina at noon here today on ACC Network.
We kind of speculated on this yesterday, given what happened with Stanford's loss over the weekend, and it kind of sets the scene. And as I told you, I think one of the best news items of the weekend was the fact that Louisville and NC State, a game that was supposed to be played on Sunday, has gotten rescheduled. So assuming everybody can hold serve here for about another week and a half, 2 weeks, we're going to get a number one, number two showdown with the Cardinals and the Wolfpack on the hardwood, which is a beautiful thing. Two really good teams. Really?
Yep. Yeah, I'd be excited for that on February 1st to see Louisville and NC State in the regular season in the ACC. Would be quite a matchup for sure. And congratulations to Jeff Westmore. Off to tremendous starts, needless to say, in their respective campaigns. And let's knock on wood and hope we get to that February 1st.
You know, going back to how stupid some of these polls are, you know, it's good to see that a team like NC State hasn't been punished for COVID delays, right? I mean, I always worry about, as inconsistent as the top 25 voting is, if you get a team that's ranked in the top two or three and all of a sudden they get tagged, you're going to get Gonzaga. I mean, they're number one with the men. They went 2 weeks. I had Mark Few on the show last week on the radio side. Mm-hmm. You know, just because you don't play doesn't mean you're still not a great team or a great individual. I go back to the Heisman stuff too. The whole thing, almost embarrassing, to be honest with you, but it is what it is.
Yeah. Big show here. Luke Hancock comes up at 8 o'clock. Tony Bennett 8:30. Raekwon Gray 9:30. Steve Weissman, who covers Duke athletics for the News Observer in Raleigh, is going to join us. We'll be talking about the departure of Kevin White in August and what kind of chess pieces move around the board as it relates to Duke athletics and what seems to be a very important hire to replace the great legacy that Dr. Kevin White has had with Blue Devil Athletics. So we will do that. And when we come back, guess what we'll do? Lean in on a Tuesday night preview. Pac has already told you. He hit you with it yesterday morning. This is a big one tonight. 9 o'clock on ESPN. The Panthers and the Blue Devils. Also, Miami-Syracuse, 7 o'clock here on ACC Network. We'll cover all that and more when we come back on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday. We haven't gone anywhere. We're here till 10 a.m. Monday through Friday. All right, big one tonight. We got a pair of ACC games of note, but one in particular jumps off the page. And the Blue Devils are back in action. Pittsburgh coming off another big win against Syracuse. This one kind of feels like kind of a tug-of-war deal, right? Again, these are two teams that right now are feeling, hey, we belong in that top five. Let's go get it. And Pitt's playing with a ton of confidence. Yeah. And Duke finally whole for the first time in a while.
Yeah, it looks that way. I mean, Jalen Johnson certainly got some minutes last week. You expect him to get more after the week. And this feels big, right? I mean, you start looking at the standings. Duke's 3-1, Pitt's 3-1. And really, that's all you need to pay attention to at that point. The overall numbers are not going to fabricate much into this. It's going to be more about what the conference record is. So you got two teams that technically are tied for fourth at 3-1 battling tonight. And let's be honest, it comes down to a nice matchup, an interesting storyline with the coaching, certainly with Jeff Capel being a Duke grad and having been a longtime aide to Coach K and now having his best Pittsburgh team by far. But, Pac, when you get down to kind of how the game unfolds, you got to look at two guys. Matthew Hurt of Duke and Justin Champagne of Pittsburgh are the guys that that are going to be the headliners in this once the teams hit the floor tonight.
Those two guys, if you snapped your fingers and the season ended today, those two guys are first-team All-ACC. And you could get a conversation about player of the year from that perspective. Mm-hmm. But you're 100% right. There's a couple other things, too, that I'm curious about this game. You know, Roach put 22 on the board on the road at Virginia Tech. And, you know, what other contributions will Duke get? You're going to get Jalen Johnson back in the lineup in all likelihood and seeing some significant playing time. That is huge for the Blue Devils. Their chemistry. You know, Coach K's talked about this a lot. What's the identity? What's the chemistry of the team? We're putting together our team. What's it going to look like? We really don't know. I mean, I know it's January the 19th, but we really don't know. K doesn't know. So that part to watch develop here, not only tonight, but also in the upcoming weeks, will be intriguing. And I think the other side, too, is Pittsburgh. Toughness. We talked to Justin Champagne yesterday about the chip on the shoulder. They like the fact that they're in the underdog situation in which people aren't giving them any credit. They want to take this thing in the back alley. They don't mind getting down and dirty and tough and physical. We've seen Duke struggle with physicality, right? Illinois, Michigan State. Those teams are out-tough Duke. Quite frankly, Virginia Tech out-tough Duke. So the Blue Devils are need to grow up in a hurry. And you know, Wes, that Pitt wants to make this physical and tough and a grinder. And now if you're Duke, you're like, hey, we got Jalen back. We're about 100% good to go. We haven't played in a week. There have been some people doubting us. We just got kicked out of the top 25 for the first time in 4 or 5 years. I mean, this game's got a little edginess to it. It just feels like, hey, this one matters. This is not just your typical, yeah, we got a Tuesday night ACC game. No, this one feels a little bit bigger than that.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think the other thing about it is Coach K finally alluded to this in the ACC coach's call yesterday, that he finally gets his team back full, including Jalen Johnson. Here's Coach K.
It's been a while, but we're, I think, everybody who is eligible to play can play, and he's had Jalen's had good practices. You know, we're trying to develop a team, so when you have somebody out like that, then he's not part of the team. You know, the playing team. You know, he'll always be a part of the team. Don't get me wrong in that, but now that he's there, then that gives us an opportunity to move forward and try to get to a better place with our entire unit.
This has been a trickier proposition, I think, for Duke than most imagined when the Blue Devils not only had the later start, but you also missed the typical stuff you go through in preseason, right? We've talked about the exhibition scrimmages and so forth. But then you factor in all the different combinations that, you know, sometimes early season games can afford you. And it's led to Duke having a ton of starting lineups. In fact, in 8 games, they've had 7 different starting lineups, Pac. It's one of the more. Look at this graphic. I mean, seven different lineups in eight games. Alcorn State, seven games, seven lineups. BU, six games, six lineups. Howard, five games, five lineups. Come on. I just think it's interesting to look at how some of this unfolds and you understand kind of how their process works. And when he says, hey, look, we're trying to build a team here, they're still trying to build the team. And tonight's a big challenge for them. Much like we should have kind of seen a little bit of last week's game in Blacksburg coming at you, because the Hokies were going to give them a scenario that was going to present some problems. Likewise, Pittsburgh presents them tonight. The Panthers throw bodies at you, Pack. I mean, now they're not well-known bodies, but Pittsburgh really put some people on the floor, and that's got to be a concern to Duke as they go to the Pete tonight.
100% agree. That's why we can't wait to watch it. This will be something for us to talk about tomorrow, regardless of the outcome, whether it's close, blowout, whatever the case may be. That's why Kay keeps talking about, hey, I don't know the identity of my team. Well, why? How could you? Every day you got a new lineup out there. So that's going to be fun to watch. And Pittsburgh, I think, has kind of raised some people's eyebrows after what they did to Syracuse twice. Mm. And, you know, Champagne's been fantastic. I mean, just absolutely phenomenal. He was with us yesterday. You'll hear him later in case you missed it. And this is a fun game now. So grab your popcorn. It's going to be one of those. This will be another one of those accounting games that when we unveil our stuff on Thursday, this outcome is going to affect it big time. There's a lot of movement going on this week. And here's the other thing, too, with Duke, real quick. Regardless of what happens tonight, they're at Louisville this weekend. This is a huge week for the Blue Devils. And you're going to jump on a Louisville team after what happened to them last night. They won't be real thrilled about life anyhow. So something's got to give, Wes. We're finally getting to some games of note where it really does feel like it's more than just a singular game.
Totally agree with you on that. By the way, your boys at BPI have it 51-49 tonight in favor of the Blue Devils.
I don't care about BPI.
51.5. I know. That's why I always refer to it as your friends at BPI.
Yeah, that was the same BPI guys that told NC State was going to beat Florida State. Lost by 100. Right.
Great. All right. Next up, 7 o'clock start. Corey Alexander, Dave O'Brien will be set up and ready to go. Miami at Syracuse. This one's got a little juice on it because, oh, by the way, as you mentioned, the Orange gave up a cool 64 to Pittsburgh on Saturday in the second half. Meanwhile, Miami got off the schneid, beating Louisville. And now all of a sudden, here come the Canes, and we have no idea about Chris Likes. We don't expect Chris Likes to play, but Isaiah Wong's going to be there. If they shoot over the top of the zone tonight, what are you thinking, Pack?
They're going to shoot over the zone. You know, we talked about how in the Duke-Pitt game you've got Champagne and Hurt. How about in this game you give me a little Wong who's fresh off a 30 spot over the weekend upsetting Louisville. Griffin had 28 in a loss. Those are two guys that can light it up. And, you know, if you're Cuse, this is the start of four of your next five at home. And I think when you take a snapshot of where they are in the standings, I hate to go back to it, but, you know, BC had to beat Miami last week. I mean, you had a zero in a win count. You just have to win that game. Notre Dame taking on BC. Notre Dame is a zero in the win count. You just have to win that game. I'm starting to feel with Syracuse, and I like their team, but they got to get whole too. But you kind of feel with Syracuse, hey, if you guys are going to be an upper-tier team, this is the kind of game you got to win. You've already let the Pitt game get away from you, which you had a comfortable 16-18-point lead. That thing got away from you at home. Here comes Miami, the walking wounded, and Jim Larrañaga has proven one thing. He may not have a lot of scholarship dudes available, but they're going to play hard, and Wong can go off. So I just get a sense with Syracuse, this is one of those kind of games they really, really need to hold serve at home.
Yeah, we've talked about Isaiah Wong a lot, a little bit of a foot injury over the weekend. Jim Larrañaga thought he'd be good to go tonight. More of that potentially coming up, details later in the show. But Nasir Brooks has played well for him inside. Elijah Olaniyi, a transfer from Stony Brook, who was supposed to sit out this year, then got in the all-encompassing waiver bonus. Remember all that jazz in mid-December where everybody was set free from their transfer year, Pack? by the NCAA. And, you know, we were talking about how it impacted Pittsburgh. Well, Olanihi is a kid who was sitting out after averaging almost 19 points a game for the Seawolves of Stony Brook last year in the America East. He's a bona fide player who can score, and he's helped pick up the slack with Likes being injured. I think tonight Syracuse has got to score the basketball. It's easier said than done. Girard's got to get on track. Gurrier's got to get on track. Buddy Boeheim's probably got to shoot it better. You know, look, Marek Dolezal has done a really nice job for him, but as a whole, Syracuse, it's been a struggle now. It's been a struggle for Boeheim's team, and tonight is a big game, I'd say, really, for both of them, to be honest.
Well, Miami just doesn't have bodies. You know, what they've pulled – the fact that they've won two games and have been incredibly close in three others that they lost by 2 points or less – I think it's a testament what a great coaching job Jim Larrañaga has done this year. Now, yeah. You know, if we threw a poll out, hey, who's the ACC men's coach of the year right now, he probably wouldn't be mentioned, which would be a terrible mistake given the injury situation. I mean, they beat Louisville with seven scholarship players over the weekend. Seven. So he's done a great job keeping games close that you just were expecting. Why is Miami even in this game, given with the walking wound of the guys that they've got on the sideline that can't play? So, I mean, I can only imagine Miami 100% healthy. We'd be talking about them, I think, like we would be Virginia Tech. I mean, I really believe that. I think that's a team that could really cause some problems.
By the way, coming up in the 8 o'clock hour today, we're going to unveil Packer and Durham cards. We have the infamous ACC index card makes its triumphant return to this program in the 8 o'clock hour. Also making its return, its debut, if you will. Look at this. I got to get the light right. Chrissy's going to get mad at me. Chrissy, there it is right there. See, maybe you can tell. Huh? No? No. It's a beige index card, and it's got the standings on it, and they're all color-coded, Packer, for your enjoyment.
Excellent.
They're right here on that card. Got it.
Wait till you see the infamous
ACC. So we'll do all that in the 8 o'clock.
You'll see the infamous ACC index card. There will be some teams listed in categories that fans will go, uh-huh. That's what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Getting all the calls.
That's what I've been thinking.
Mm-hmm. Again, we're not.
This is the one.
Not forming any opinions. These are just what the numbers are. You form your own opinion. That's all that's ever been.
Yeah, the infamous. Yeah, this is the one where you got to stand by the phone in Greensboro. All right.
I've been called out
Kelsey
before.
Riggs and. I know, yes. Kelsey Riggs and EJ Manuel are with you tonight following Miami Syracuse basketball. 9 o'clock for another spectacular half-hour edition of In Play. Tonight, current Packers running back and former BC sledgehammer A.J. Dillon stops by. He gets ready for the NFC title game at Frozen Lambeau Field. In Play, 9 o'clock, following Miami-Syracuse right here on ACC Network. And as Packer always likes to tell you, streaming on the ESPN app. When we come back... True or false, presented by our friends at Dish. We'll go true or false here in just a moment on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham. Perfect opportunity for a second cup of coffee, and you'll be good to go. 844-SAY-ACCN, the number for the program. Tons of great guests coming up, so you'll enjoy this. And, Mr. Durham, the Lumberjacks are front and center today, too. They're going to leave them out.
Ladies and gentlemen, long-awaited segment each week on Packer and Durham. It's time for True or False, presented by Dish. Tuned in to you, Pack.
Like it. Sponsorship. We like Dish. Dish are good people. They're part of the family.
Josh Macri. Josh Macri at the wheel. Yeah. Have you noticed, by the way, Pack? I noticed this in a couple of our previous visits with the Lumberjacks. Macri's kind of let the flow go a little bit. We got a little bit of a flow going there for the wintertime in Connecticut. Is that what's happening there, Josh?
Little Brian Ives look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? You know? Carolina beat Cuse, so I said, right. Ives, I'll bet you if Carolina wins, I'll get your haircut. If Cuse wins, you get mine. So, heels won.
Did you and Ives have a wager? Did you and Oz have a wager?
You're looking at it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But anyway,
okay.
The fine folks at Dish are patiently waiting for our true or false questions. So let's get it started. True or false, Justin Champagny will finish the season leading the ACC in both scoring and in rebounding. He's currently second in scoring with 18.7 points per game and first with rebounds by a pretty wide margin, actually.
I'm going to say true. I'm going to go true, Wes. Now, listen, Hurt's been really good. I'm going to tell you why I'm going to say that. Matthew Hurt's been outstanding, but he's really been doing this too without Jalen in the lineup. Jalen's getting ready to jump back in the lineup, and I think there'll be some points that will be distributed that normally Hurt was loading up on during his absence.
Oh.
And I don't think there's an answer for Champagny now. I'm telling you what, this dude is a monster. He's already given you a couple 20-20s. He comes back off the injury earlier than expected. So we discussed with him yesterday and goes 24-16. Pitt's going to need his scoring. I think he's going to be able to score. So I'm going to go true on this.
How many dunks did he have against your Orange there, Macri, on Saturday?
Several.
Holy cow. I did a little reconnaissance research this morning, the Packer and Durham archives. The
crack staff.
Last guy to – no, this was my research. Last guy to average a double-double and be the ACC player of the year was Marvin Bagley, 21 points, 11 rebounds, 2018. The last guy to average the numbers rebounding-wise that Justin Champagny is doing and win player of the year was Tim Duncan, 20.8 points, 14.7 rebounds, 1997. There have been other players that have averaged a double-double that have won player of the year. Tyler Hansbrough, 2008. Antoine Jameson, 1998, 22 points, 10.5 rebounds. But caveat to this, Justin Champagny's 6'6", okay? The last guy that size to average a double-double and be the ACC player of the year, the Kangaroo Kid, Billy Cunningham, 25 points and 14 rebounds, in 1965. I say all that to say true. I think Justin Champagny will lead the league in scoring, lead the league in rebounding. I don't know that he'll be the player of the year, but he's going to have a heck of a chance, I think.
We both agree.
That was a long way of saying true, but we appreciate it. Appreciate the knowledge. From the men's side to the women's side, essentially the same question, true or false, Elizabeth Kitley will finish the season leading the league in both scoring and rebounding.
False. False.
Wow.
You know why?
Because Dana Evans with a point and a half advantage.
That's a big number, and she's going to have the ball in her hands at all times on a really great team. So I'm going to go false, even though Kitley's been fantastic.
Yeah. I think Elizabeth Kitley's been tremendous for Virginia Tech, but second to Dana Evans in scoring and second to Lorella Kubai in rebounding, that's not an awful thing either. I don't think she can get the scoring. Maybe can. The rebounding thing, I think, is within reach, though. So I'm going to go false here, only because I think Dana Evans can really score it now.
Yep. Okay, next one.
By the way, Elizabeth Kitley and Gina Conti were named ACC co-players of the week. Syracuse's Priscilla Williams was named the ACC freshman of the week. And speaking of Ms. Conti, true or false, at least two ACC players will finish the season shooting over 90% from the line. Not just men, not women. ACC basketball players, two of them will finish the season shooting over 90%.
True. True. Absolutely. Easy true.
Two
is true.
Okay, I'll go true. I'll go true. 90's hard now. That's a big number. We're going to go men, women, and we got six on the board, and we're going to go for two of those. Okay, I'll go two.
And my girl Gina Conti is going to get it over 90. She missed two over the weekend. If she only had missed one, she'd have been over 90%. Gina Conti's going to be there. I trust Gina.
More beef jerky, more Yoo-Hoo.
No, that'll do it. We loved her. She was great.
More beef jerky, more Yoo-Hoo for Gina. Okay, Josh.
All right, guys. True or false, Florida State will shoot over 50% in the first half versus Clemson. It seems like a lot, but keep in mind the Noles have shot 71% against NC State, 54% against Carolina, and 53% against Louisville from the field in the first half of their last three ballgames.
False. False. I thought what happened
to Clemson.
We're
only talking about 50% in the first half.
Yeah, I get it. I'm going to go false. And the reason for it, I thought Saturday was kind of that to me was a misnomer versus what we've seen Clemson defensively. And I'm going to chalk that one up to number one, Virginia was just lights out and a little rust. They'll play Georgia Tech tomorrow night, so they'll get back in the flow of things. I don't know what Florida State shot in the first game. I'd guess it's around 40%. So I'm going to go under, even though the Noles have been dynamite since coming back from their pause. I'll go under. False.
Well, you give me a lot of compelling things to noodle over there. I'm going to go true. I think they'll shoot 50%. I'm not sure the scoring number will be as high, but I think they'll shoot. They get good shots. I tell you, the thing that catches your eye when you watch them play is how crisp the ball moves.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Ball doesn't stand still with Florida State now. That's the other thing about it. And Raekwon Gray will join us at 9:30. We'll talk to him coming up on the program. By the way, thanks to everybody at Dish for sponsoring True or False. Dish tuned into you.
We are pro-Dish folks. We have worked with that fine organization, and we're glad they're on board as a sponsor.
Good people.
And good people, youngster people. They're good folks. We like them.
We just talked about Justin Champagne. If you missed any of our visit with him yesterday, well, you're in the right spot. Because when we come back, guy, here's more dunks on Syracuse, Macri. Good heavens. I mean, that's all he did was dunk. Alan Griffin, by the way, wanted no part of that poster on Saturday. Justin Champagne from yesterday's Packer and Durham show on a radio replay, if you will, next on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday. Luke Hancock coming up here in about 15 minutes. We look forward to that conversation. But yesterday, in case you missed it, we're just sitting there talking about Justin Champagne, how great he's been. And, man, I tell you what, we started our conversation with him yesterday talking about, man, he's been absolutely great, right? He was awesome against Syracuse. Only missed a couple games. We were all bummed out when he got injured. Thought he was going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. And, man, through that process, didn't seem like he was held back at all against the Orange.
Yeah, I mean, I only missed two games, but I technically have, man. I just knew, like, I was going to come back before 6 to 8 weeks, and I put it in my head that I'm going to get back and be in the core of my guys sooner or later. So I just worked at it, and everything came together.
Well, you proved that. From a mental standpoint, was that the hardest thing to get over the hurdle to say, hey, listen, I'm good, all right? Because, you know, again, we heard 6 to 8 weeks. I'm thinking, well, probably going to be late January maybe till we see, and then I hear, oh, my God. Justin's back. And, man, then you go off for 24 and 16. From a mental standpoint, when did you know, hey, I'm good, let's go play?
I knew like a week or two back where we was in practice and I caught a dunk. And then I started to run around and move more. And I just said, yo, I'm going to be back before the set timetable.
Justin, the numbers this year have been incredible. I mean, you're doing stuff that Pittsburgh hasn't seen since Charles Smith. But the idea of your season, how much of what is happening this year was born late last year when you had, I mean, you played great at the ACC tournament, but you finished the regular season strong. How much of last year is responsible for this year in your mind?
I kind of like let go of last year. That's what I was told to do by a lot of people. Like, last year's in the past, and you got to work out and get better for this year because everybody's going to come at me differently. So I listened to coach and we just worked out on it. And I guess everything's falling into place now.
Justin, about this team, you know, Weston, I've been breaking this thing down, trying to figure out who's going to be the alpha in this conference. And there's about five or six or seven teams that we're still not sure because the pandemic starts, stop. You know how this goes. But, you know, you guys are kind of laying in the weeds, man. I mean, you know, you're kind of sitting there and everybody's talking about Virginia, and rightfully so. And Florida State won it last year. They're really talented. And Virginia Tech's gotten off to a great start. And Louisville's really good. But I get a sense that you guys kind of know who you are, and maybe the rest of the league doesn't. Is that fair?
Yeah, it's fair. I mean, last year, you know, we kind of struggled in ACC play, but this year we got a chip on our shoulders, and we want to come out there and prove that we belong in this league and that we can make an impact.
Well, the other part, too, that, you know, I think a lot of people realize that you were a versatile guy, but your team has embraced almost the explosiveness you showed. I mean, you got guys doing a lot of different things and covering a lot of ground here. What's the difference in this particular team from the one a year ago that just seems you guys have been able to bond? And even through all the ups and downs that this season's brought to a lot of teams, Justin, you guys have been able to really kind of maintain after kind of a couple bumps at the front end.
I feel like this year's team, we're more together. Like, you know, everybody is one, we're all united, we all want the same goal. And I just feel like we all listen to each other and that we know that the pandemic like changed a lot of things, but we create our own energy day in and day out, and we just feed off of that. We feed off each other.
How big a deal was it the first Syracuse game where you guys found yourselves down 16, 18 points? And it looks like, oh, we're going to lose this one. But, man, there was no quit with your team. I mean, that just seemed to be a catalyst for just really, hey, we're going to the next level with that great comeback and, of course, the explosion in the second half against that same Orange team.
It was a struggle at the beginning of the game. You know, all our heads went down, but at halftime, coach said, pick your heads up, you know, we're going to be good. We just went out there and fought. You know, we earned that win, and we earned this one too.
I'm curious to know of the, and I'm going to say, hey, I'm talking to a sophomore, and I realize I'm getting ready to call you one of the older guys on the team, right? But of the younger guys, which ones have surprised you? Who do you think has seen kind of this development come along and now kind of accepts the stage of where you guys are? Because let's be honest, this is what you went through a year ago to kind of get to a point where you've got your destiny in terms of the ACC really in your own control.
I would say all the freshmen kind of surprised me. You know, I know Will really surprised because he's young and I didn't really expect him to come in and make a huge impact, but he impacted the team a lot. Femi impacted the team a lot. You know, he plays a lot of minutes. He doesn't turn the ball over a lot. He gets to the spots, makes the shots, and makes good passes. And Noah just to come in and be ready every time his number is called and get rebounds and box out and be physical.
Hey, I don't need to remind you what's happening tomorrow because Duke's coming, and they've not played in a week. When you've watched film of the Blue Devils, and they haven't played a whole lot of basketball either. It seems like they take a lot of time off in December. They've been off for a week. It just kind of feels like a big game. I know every time you see Duke it is, but it just, again, the snapshot of where the league is right now, where Pitt is in the standings, where Duke is in the standings, this feels like a big deal Tuesday night.
It definitely is. We're not taking this game lightly. I feel like last year at Duke, we should have won that game, but of course we didn't. But I just feel like we have a chance, you know, to be a really good team, and this is a stepping stone for us if we could make this game and win.
Well, I tell you what, it's great to have you back on the floor. Pleasure to watch, man. Your energy and your intensity level is something special. Justin, anything in particular happened in the offseason lockdown-wise? I mean, I know you talked about visiting with Coach Capel and working on certain things to get better, but was there a breakthrough in your mind about your game headed into this season?
I don't know. I started to feel like I kind of come on in practice where like, I felt like I was doing more things. I was making more shots, being a better team player and all that. And then, I don't know, it just kind of clicked. I kind of spoke to my mom, my pops, my brother, and everything just started to click in for me, and I just started to play the way I'm playing now.
Justin, your team kind of reminds me of your city. You guys seem to be a bunch of tough guys, right? And you're kind of undersized a little bit. You know, nobody's really talking about you in terms of the big picture. I think that all plays into the way you guys like to play. And that is, hey, that's right. You guys keep doubting us because you know what? When it's go time, we're going to stick our nose in your business. Is that a fair description of the toughness of this basketball team?
Definitely. We know that nobody's going to give us nothing. Nobody can give us no credit because how we played last year, they feel like this is just always the beginning of the season. They just getting started. They might go down and lose a couple games, but we got a chip on our shoulder, and we want to win. We're tired of losing. We want to change this program around.
Is that hard for a New York guy to say he's playing like he's got Pittsburgh attitude?
I mean, it's not hard for me. I mean, I know where I'm from, but right now, this is where I'm from. I'm not going to play with all that
Pittsburgh. But there's a – hey, you can't tell me now, Justin, there's an edge to that New York game now. Come on, there's an edge in New York now.
Of course, it's definitely different than a Pittsburgh basketball, but, I mean, I just got to bring the New York game to Pittsburgh, and everything works out.
Big one tonight, Wes. It's going to be good. Duke and Pitt.
He's having a whale of a year.
Ooh, awesome.
Holy cow.
Yes, sir.
I mean, the numbers he's putting up, Pac. I mean, you mentioned the 20 rebound games and things like that. I mean, remember now, I know small sample size. We keep talking about the awkwardness of this season and so many different factors, right? But the numbers he's putting up, like in a conference game, you get 20-some rebounds. I mean – double doubles, things of that nature. And he's 6'6 now. We're not talking about – that's why I went through that list earlier in True or False about Tim Duncan, Antoine Jameson, Tyler Hansbrough, Marvin Bagley. You go all the way back to Billy Cunningham. I mean, just kind of crazy, isn't it? When you start looking at his line by lines in games, what he's doing at 6'6".
Well, I think he's flying. Forget about us here in this ACC footprint with what we do on this show and on this network. I think he's flying underneath the radar, yeah. Big picture. I mean, and again, part of this is, you know, you get injured for a couple weeks. It's out of sight, out of mind. We got stuff going on, all the pauses, delays, and disruptions. But he has been a beast. And that's why I can't wait to watch this game tonight. I think they both have something to prove, right? Pitt believes they belong.
Yeah, no question.
And they're going to be tough. Like I said, they don't mind scrapping and let's get down and dirty. And I think Duke is ready to kind of say, hey, guess what? You know what? Enough. Mm-hmm. We are one of the elites, and we are now whole. Jalen's back. Hurt's been out of sight. Roach gave us 22 on the road the other night at Virginia Tech. We got pushed around by some tougher teams earlier. We're going to be tougher moving forward. And they're going to have to be. Yeah. If Duke wants to get to that spot, they're going to have to get down in a fight and say, guess what? We're going to grind it and win one. Tonight's going to be a good basketball game.
Yeah, one stat here collective to keep an eye on. Pittsburgh doesn't shoot it great. They only shoot 43% from the floor as a team. But defensively, they are number one against field goal percentage. Opponents only hit 39% from the floor against Pitt. They are also the number one three-point defensive team in the league. Opponents hitting under 26% of their threes tonight. So, you know, keep an eye on that factor of it as we move into this game as well. This should be an interesting game tonight. Appreciate Justin Champagne being with us. Stay tuned. Big second hour coming up. Luke Hancock will be here. Tony Bennett and the reemergence of the infamous ACC index card. All coming up on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.